How do you spell relief? How about $700 billion? On Friday, the federal government promised to target $700 billion, once again with a B, to help the economy. That didn't help stock markets, though, here or around the world. Joining me to break down the latest in economics is Keith Reed. He's a business reporter for the Cincinnati Inquirer, and he blogs for BET's finance page, Dollar Out of 15 Cents. Hi, Keith.
Hey, Farah, how you doing?
I'm doing great, but not so much the stock market. It fell below 10,000, the Dow Jones, lowest it's been in about 4 years. Yet you've got this $700 billion bill signed into law by the president. Why, after this much touted, much debated bill actually made it through the system, is the stock market still going crazy?
Because it takes some time for $700 billion to work its way through the system. And one of the things you have to understand is that there was never a consensus, at least among experts in the financial world and economists, about whether or not the $700 billion was going to either A, provide an immediate turnaround, or whether it was going to be the long-term fix that we needed. It's going to take at least several months, maybe 3 to 6 months, to figure out whether or not this is going to have a long-term impact. In the interim, getting it passed, the first question that Wall Street has was, is it going to get passed? And so last week you saw the huge drop in the loss of more than $1 trillion in wealth in the stock market on a single day, because people worried whether or not it was about whether or not it was going to get passed. Now it's been passed, and the worry is, well, is it enough? And we just don't know yet whether or not it's enough.
When you think about what enough is, I mean, how do you even measure what enough is? Well, I guess part of it is that you measure the stock market, but what are the other indicators that say this is working?
Well, I mean, you have to look at all the classic, financial indicators that are out there. You have to look at jobs and what's going on with jobs. Well, we lost 159,000 new jobs last month. Unemployment is the highest that it's been in several years, and so jobs is a big indicator. You also have to look at the availability of credit. Credit is still so tight today. You have to remember that underlying all of this is the quote unquote credit crunch, the phenomenon by which banks cannot borrow from each other, therefore they can't lend either to the government or to consumers. Well, what happened today? The Federal Reserve Bank actually went, the nation's central bank said that it's going to increase by $300 billion the amount that it lends overnight to banks when they come in and they need an emergency loan to try to bring some more liquidity to the system and get banks lending again. So the job picture doesn't look any better. The credit picture doesn't look any better. And so whether or not the economy ultimately will, whether or not the $700 billion bailout for Wall Street will make things look better again remains to be seen, at least for the next several months.
I want to reserve the right to go back to talking about world stock markets. But since you mentioned jobs, we have to go there. Like you said, 159,000 jobs. Zoop. That is tremendous. You know, jobs vanishing faster than they have in 5 years. And yet, on the other hand, the House passed a bill that could extend unemployment benefits. It still has to go to the Senate. So on the one hand, let's start by breaking down what's going on with the job situation. What are we really seeing here?
In short, a hell of a lot of jobs are being lost. I mean, there's just no two ways about it. There's no analysis that needs to be done. There just are a lot of people who are losing jobs, and those jobs are not being created in anywhere near the numbers that they're being lost. 760,000 jobs have disappeared this year alone. That brings the nation's overall unemployment rate up to 6.1%. If you're African American, actually, the rate is 11.4% at this point. So, of course, the old adage about the economy having a flu and the economy having a cold and black folk catching the flu remains true here, and that was predicted earlier this year. Those jobs are just disappearing they're disappearing very, very quickly. What the government did is sort of an indicator that they don't believe that the jobs are going to come back anytime soon. And that also, you know, goes back to whether or not the markets, the credit markets and the equity markets believe that this is going to be over anytime soon and businesses begin expanding again. There is really very little confidence, very little certainty on, you know, in any of the major sectors of the economy right now that this is going to change. And so the government responded and said, listen, we need to do something to help people who may be out of work for an extended amount of time.
One of our other contributors, Dr. Julianne Malvo of Bennett College, has made the point that something like extending unemployment benefits is a really direct way to reach people who have been working and who do need help. And yet, I just see dollar signs rolling before my eyes. And in fact, there was a story on television about the debt clock, America's debt clock, that the numbers kept rolling up. And now they may be out of space, literally, that we may have to flip over another digit so that, you know, this kind of performance art slash informational object may cease to be current because we have just run up so much debt. Is this a good use of money? Relative, and what I mean by this is unemployment benefits, are they a good value for American taxpayers?
They may be in the short term. One of the things you have to remember is that in the calculation of the unemployment figures, you do lose some people. I mean, some people simply get wiped off the rolls if you have been out of work for X number of months and you stop looking for a job, you get taken out of the unemployment figures. Some economists do believe that the unemployment figures almost always skew low because you have this disaffected worker who gets taken off because he stopped looking for a job. He hasn't been able to find one. To the extent that it does bring some relief to people who absolutely need the money, who aren't going to be able to pay their bills. I mean, at the end of the day, the taxpayer does end up footing, you know, would you rather give the guy directly, give somebody who's out of work directly the ability to be able to pay his bills, keep his lights on, or do you want it to come on the back end when you're giving him energy assistance if he goes to apply for food stamps, if he goes to down to the welfare office or what have you? You know, it's sort of your choice, but the money's going to come out anyway. To your point about the debt clock, I was kind of turning this over in my head a little bit earlier. And when you think about the amount of money that we're pouring into bailouts of any different sort, it is really staggering. I mean, this whole thing with the Federal Reserve and the move that they made this morning of adding another 300 or of increasing their lending capability by $300 billion to banks, in addition to $700 billion that the Treasury Department is going to preside over, in addition to $25 billion for the auto industry, in addition to whatever may be coming. I mean, it's sort of, you know, it all smacks of robbing Peter to pay Paul at some point. Someone is ultimately going to have to pay for this, and it probably won't be in my lifetime. It may not be in my children's lifetime. I mean, there's just a tremendous amount of debt that's being there's a big buck, a big bill that's being passed along from person to person to person with this financial crisis.
Speaking of bucks and bills, California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger sent a distress signal to D.C. on Friday. He said the state might need an emergency loan of $7 billion to maintain day-to-day operations. It is pretty remarkable that the eighth largest economy in the world, which is effectively what California would be if broken out from, you know, the national statistics, would be in this position. What does that say about how states are faring?
What it says is that states are in the same position that a lot of companies are in. I mean, if you really at the heart of this crisis, and I can't stress this enough, the heart of this is the fact that our economy is simply tied to people, companies, government, entities borrowing, period, point blank. We've reached the point where borrowing literally fuels the economy. It's not production. It's even not so much consumerism, unless the consumerism is financed with debt. Most companies pay their, or many companies, if not most, pay their employees, pay their bills on a month-to-month basis while they wait for their receipts to come in. They pay those bills by borrowing. So they tap into a credit facility. They go to a bank and say, hey, listen, this is my payroll. I've got receipts coming in. I can pay you back. Give me the money to pay all my employees. Many states are simply in the same place. When you hear about a state selling or a city selling a bond, what that bond is essentially debt so that it can bring in the money that it needs short term to pay for police, firefighters, teachers, teachers, et cetera. California came to the government last week and said, listen, you know, we need $7 billion. And I know you're giving $700 billion to Wall Street, but we need $7 billion because we can't pay the teachers. And some people think that, you know, what Schwarzenegger was doing was putting a little bit of pressure on Congress to get a deal done. But at the end of the day, it's a reality that states do need to borrow money. And with the credit markets seized up the way they are, mm-hmm. not even the state of California can borrow what it needs to pay the bills that it has to pay.
Keith, thank you.
Thank you.
We've been talking to Keith Reed. He's a reporter for the Cincinnati Inquirer and blogs for BET's finance page at Dollar Out of 15 Cents. He joined us from member station WVXU in Cincinnati, Ohio.